Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
We started with Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 last week, talking about Jesus saying, "This then is how you should pray. This, in my opinion, is the most effective prayer ever that I prayed and I've seen through the centuries the saints of God have prayed. It began with the words, 'Our Father in heaven.' And let me review for you what we touched on last week. We said that the word 'our' simply refers to the idea that this is for everyone. But 'our' also means this is something personal to us and something that we're kindred to us. In other words, it's not something distant, but something that is something that we can get used to or something that's designed for us. Next, it talked about Father, referring to the idea of presence. The most important part of prayer is to acknowledge the presence of God. With that comes His power and provision, His protection. The words 'in heaven' really declares the idea that prayer is to be done all the time, anytime, and anywhere. We continue on in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, with the words, 'Hallowed be thy name.' And I've entitled this message, 'What is in a name?' Now, if you've ever met God in a meeting and saw His name tag, it would say God. But there's something about that name that is to be hallowed. The word Halloween might sound familiar to you, and that is because you probably heard of the term Happy Halloween. Halloween was not originally called Halloween. It was actually a pagan tradition that was celebrated by the Celts known as Samhain. Samhain was celebrated by the Scots, the Irish, and a lot of the English back about 2,000 years ago. The idea behind Samhain was they believed that the new year was on the 1st of November. It was a three-day Celtic festival celebrated on the 1st of November, declaring the new year, and everybody dressed as ghosts and ghouls to really welcome the new year and scare other evil spirits to make sure that the new year does not have the bad spirits of the past year. Halloween comes from two words, the word hallow, which means holy, which means special, which means set apart, een, which means eve. In other words, when the Celts became Christians, the Christians redeemed the word Samhain into Halloween, or for the eve for all the departed saints. The tradition was changed, which is typically what Christians did. They took the old traditions and Christianized them. Now, when you talk about the word hallow in application to prayer, what that means is hallow be means set apart, to set apart the name of God, to come and acknowledge that He's like no other God, to be holy simply means to be set apart. He was beyond the gods of the Greeks, the Egyptians, the Romans. He was not like them. He never lied. He always spoke the truth. He was always righteous. More than that, hallowed means He is high above anything, everything, and everyone, in a way that in the way we see Him and in the truth of who He is. When we're praying to God and declaring, "Hallowed be your name," what we're saying is, "You're high above anything and everything and everyone, in the way I see you and the truth of who you are." Secondly, we believe that He revere His name. Hallowed means not just setting Him apart, but acknowledging and revering Him as the highest of value, deserving the highest of honor, and the single most important person to start the day with. Hallowed be your name also means to magnify the Lord. There's a verse in Psalms 34, verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name forever." Notice the words "exalt His name" or "magnify the Lord" and "exalt His name" are one and the same thing. There is two ways to magnify something. You could use a microscope and turn something that is relatively small into something that's larger than it really is. Or the other one is to use a telescope to draw something that seemingly is small but actually is very large. Telescope is really the way to magnify God, to bring Him closer to our lives and to realize that He's this magnificent, amazing God who is to be hallowed. Exalt His name together is what it means. Exalting the name of God or hallowing His name is the starting point of prayer. But why will we hallow His name? Well, His name is different. The name of God comes in many different variants. The starting point is the first verse of the first chapter of the first book in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Notice the word God, which is the word Elohim in Hebrew. The word Elohim means the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is an amazing God. Now, Elohim is the all-powerful creator God. He is the one who predates time and space, the Alpha, the beginning, and the one who has no end, the Omega. In short, God is Elohim, the creator, the powerful God. Now, if you notice other words in the Bible, there'll be words like El Elyon or El Shaddai. These words depict pretty much the term God or a generic God. His name is Elohim, the God of the universe, the most powerful God, the name that everybody uses for something like God in those days. But there was something greater than this God. He had a specific name called Yahweh. The specific name of God is something we see in the story of the Jews as Moses was asked by God to take them out of Egypt. He encounters God in a burning bush, and God speaks to him and says, I want you to deliver my people Israel. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God says, I will be with you. Presence. In other words, whenever you pray or talk to God, what the first thing you will encounter is his presence. And this sign will be to you that is I who have sent you. A sign. In other words, this is how you're going to know that I'm the one who's going to be bringing you. Now notice, this is a very interesting story. It says in verse 12, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. That's a funny story. Moses was asking him, give me a sign so that it'll give me courage to go and deliver your people. And God says, when you brought your people out, you will be back here. That is your sign. Basically, what God was saying is, signs are great, but there's something greater than signs. And that is to trust me. To trust me that I'm the one who's going to be delivering the people. Sometimes we often look for signs to trust God, and God's saying, no, I want you to trust me. Further in verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? There you find the other name of God, this time a more specific name. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am, this is my name, has sent you. Now, the name I am is the name Yahweh, a more specific name of God. You have to understand something that's happening here. You see, Moses was about to walk into 10 plagues in succession. He was out to see an entire economy of the Egyptians lose the River Nile into blood and realize the whole economy was going to crumble, and he needed to trust not just a sign, but a name. Secondly, he was about to see frogs come out of anywhere. He was about to see locusts and flies and pestilence, cows and livestock dying before his eyes, boils, the ugliest things that ever happened to humans, hail raining down, all kinds of darkness and even deaths of young people. If you don't trust God and you begin to see these things, you're going to wane in your faith. And thus God says, Moses, you got to trust my name. Not just trust my name, you have to know my name. Trust in the person is trusting the name. The name of God is not just a name, it's a specific name. It's not just a generic name, God, the creator of the universe, but a person, a specific name called Yahweh. When you say, hallowed be thy name, you're setting apart, you're revering, you're magnifying not only the generic God, but the specific God whom you're serving. Secondly, he talks about the word Jehovah. If you've ever been to a war memorial, the thing you're going to see are lots and lots of names. Names upon names upon names of people who have died and perished. And behind those names, or each of those names, is a character that has a given contribution to the victory of the war. That's what war memorials are about. In the same way that Jehovah, or is not just a specific name, but a personal name, behind that name are specific contributions and things that God has done for people. Moses had to understand that. He knew God as Elohim, the generic God. He knew God with the specific name, Yahweh, the God who is I am and will be who I am for whatever situation you find yourself in. But he needed to know him as Jehovah, a personal name. You see, when the Egyptians tried to chase the Israelites out after they left Egypt, God drowned them in the Red Sea. With that, Moses began to sing a song with the Israelites. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. The Lord is my strength and my defense is no longer just an I am God, Moses is now beginning to realize the power of praying to this God is more than just a generic name, more than just a specific name, but something very personal. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, I will exalt him. I will revere him. I will lift up his name. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. That word is his name. The Lord is a warrior. Jehovah Mikamal, Mikama, which means God is a warrior. He fights for me. It's a powerful thing when prayer becomes more than just a generic term, more than just an action, a religious duty that we perform, but we begin to see God move for us and fight for us. As the Israelites moved out of Egypt, they came to a place called the waters of Marah. The water was bitter, and the water was about to destroy the people. Back again in Exodus 15, verse 26, he said to them, after God gave him wisdom to treat the water with a piece of wood, he said to them, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God, there it is, the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes, and if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. Remember, the Israelites saw all the plagues, and they're worried now that they're seeing that the water is contaminated, that they might experience the same diseases and destructions that the Egyptians experienced. And there he says, for I am the Lord who heals you. A personal name. In other words, the promise is Jehovah Rapha. I will take care of you, and I will not allow the diseases of Egypt to come upon you. When you learn how to pray to God in his name, and these names become personal to you as it unfolds. Prayer, by the way, is not a thing that you do. Prayer is wordless groans that seek the presence of God, that declare that, God, you are my Jehovah Rapha, and you will heal me. A bit of a testimony here. At 64 years old, I have gone through many different physical issues, whether they be arthritis or migraines or refluxes, and all of them I would bring up to God, Jehovah Rapha, in prayer. I come to him and say, God, your name is more powerful, and as he heals me, my faith is built up. That is the power of prayer. Moses moves on, and they realize the Amalekites did not want them to cross their land. They declare war over them, and they fight them. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and to make sure that Joshua or the next generation of leaders hears it. Because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. God was saying, I'm going to destroy the enemies that are trying to harm you. Moses built an altar and he called it, the Lord is my banner. Probably one of my favorite names of God, Jehovah Nisi, which means I will lead you into battle. When I go out every day from my home, I know there's a battle that I'm about to face. Whether that's a battle in my faith, whether that's a battle in other people's lives, well, that's just regular circumstances, but I always declare Jehovah Nisi. This is the name of the God that I hallow, the God that I set apart, the God that I revere, the God that I magnify. When you magnify God for who he is in his name, your problems become smaller. When you magnify your problems to be bigger than this God because you don't know how to pray in his presence, your day does not work the way it should. Jehovah Nisi was a personal name that Moses had to learn. As you read through your Bible, you're going to find the different names of Jehovah. Abraham called him Jehovah Jireh as he provided a sacrifice for his son Isaac. Gideon called him Jehovah Shalom, the God who will make me whole, the God who will cause my mind, my will, my emotions, my very being to become one, because peace only comes when all of that becomes one. The God of David was called Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of the holies of holies, the holy army of God. In other words, the Lord of hosts, the God who can topple down the Goliaths in my life. He also called him Jehovah Rohi, the God who's my shepherd, who takes care of his sheep. Even Jeremiah called him Jehovah Tsidkenu, God is my righteousness, that he makes right the things that are wrong in my life. When we say, hallowed be thy name, what we're saying is we've set apart, we revere, we magnify. The generic name God, yes, but more than that, the specific name of God. The God whose I am to all of our issues and circumstances. The God who is very personal to every situation we face. And finally, the name Adonai. There's an interesting and curious verse in Psalm 108, verse 1, where it says, O Lord, our Lord, there it is, how majestic is your name in all the earth, the majesty and the glory of this name. You'll notice that there are two words here, O Lord and our Lord. One is all caps, which means Jehovah. The other one is our Lord, which is in lowercase O-R-R-D, which means Adonai. Adonai stands for master, and that is the third name that you want to use about God, not just his specific name, not just his personal name, but really the name of my master, my master's name. Many times when we think about the idea of a master, we think of puppets being controlled by a ruler. That's not the idea behind this idea of the word Adonai. The better idea is found in Psalm 97, verse 4. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Jehovah, Lord, and before the Lord of all the earth, Lord Adonai. In other words, my master. A better way to think about it is God owns everything. He's the owner of the entire universe because he's the maker of all the universe. As such, he's responsible for caring for it, like a pet, like a dog, providing for it, protecting it, guarding it, and more importantly, leading it. When we pray this prayer of understanding the name of this God who is worthy to be set apart, this God who is worthy to be reverenced and magnified, we begin to understand he's responsible for caring, for providing, for protecting, and for guarding, and for leading me. This is how Jesus said you should pray. Hallowed be thy name. You are set apart. There's nothing like you. You are worth being reverenced. You are worth the time, the energy. You are worth spending time every minute of the day. Every moment that I can take a break, I would want to seek for you because your name is not just generic. Your name is specific. Your name is not just specific to me. Your name is personal. Your name is not just personal to me. You are actually the one who cares for me, the one who loves me, the one who provides for me, the one who will lead me, the one who will guard me. Now, the final name is told in the story of Joseph. Joseph, the husband of Mary, was met by an angel. And an angel was about to tell him that Mary's pregnant and that what name would he name this child. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This is the ultimate name of God, to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. They're going to be delivered once and for all so that they can have access with me forever and ever, all the days of their lives. Hallowed be his name. Most important name is Jesus. Further, he says, and this took place, the angel was saying this, that took place what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. That's what Jesus means. God is with us. Emmanuel, the name of Jesus, is the reason why you and I can now stand in the presence. Jesus makes presence available to us. The presence of this Almighty God, this Yahweh, this Jehovah, this personal God, this Master is made available to us through Jesus. God with us. More importantly, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, God exalted him to the very highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Notice those words. The name that is above every name, higher than the words that we all heard in the Old Testament, the most hallowed of names is the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess in heaven and earth and under the earth. Notice that word, right? Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. In other words, it's preeminent over any name, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jehovah, Shalom, he's Jehovah Rapha, he is Tsidkenu, he's all of this to the glory of the Father. In other words, hallowed be his name means every promise of God is fulfilled in Jesus. When we pray in Jesus' name, we see every promise of the Old Testament to all of his saints fulfilled in our lives each and every time we pray. And finally, John 15, verse 16 says, you did not choose me, Jesus said, but I chose you. and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Therefore, what is the name of Jesus? Presence is made available to us, every promise of the Old Testament fulfilled, our prayers are answered in Jesus' name. When we pray, Our Father in heaven, we declare the presence of God. We're declaring that, God, you're available to us. We can stand in your presence. You're not absent. You desire to be with us. When we say, hallowed be, we say, you're set apart. We revere you. We magnify you above anything and everything. When we say, hallowed be his name, we're saying, you're not just a generic God. You're a specific God for me. You're personal to me in every circumstance in my life. And you're the master who takes care of me. And your name is Jesus. And that's why I pray in your name. Because presence is made available to me. Every promise is fulfilled. And our prayers are answered. As we close this service, I want us to proclaim the name of Jesus. I want you to pick up a bread. And I want you to pick up a cup. And let's pray this prayer. Lord, thank you for the revelation of your names throughout time and human history. You are truly beyond words. Matchless in glory, magnificent in power, hallowed be your name. Thank you, God, that you are the relational God, Jehovah, and that your desire is that everyone be complete unity by showing us the love that flows from the Father. We acknowledge you as the ruler and Lord, our Adonai. You are our provider, for you are the bread of life. Jesus, you are our warrior who has won each and every single battle, trial, and difficulty we face. You are our peace, our shepherd. We shall never be in want. Thank you for your blood on the cross that cleanses us and heals us. May your name be forever honored and revered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.